Red Oak Holdings LLC. And you, sir, are Mr.?
Mark Lapuza.
Good morning to you, Mr. Lapuza.
Good morning, Your Honor.
You may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I may. May it please the court, this case arises out of a trustee sale conducted in Phelps County, Nebraska, and the subsequent discovery by the purchaser from that tax sale, the appellee, of an intervening treasurer's tax deed, which was issued prior to the completion of the trustee sale. Recorded prior to the trustee sale. Approximately 2 months prior in the initial recording and the subsequent recording before the trustee sale. The trustee sale was conducted, and the appellee purchased the property in an arm's-length transaction and paid approximately $40,000 for the benefit of the beneficiary, my client, Oakland Holdings. Following the sale, the purchaser discovered that the property had already been conveyed in sale under that treasurer's tax deed. I note that it was a subsequent discovery, but the tax deed was a matter of public record at the time of the sale. And what we have here is essentially factual discovery following record notice to all parties. The record also reflects that neither the beneficiary nor the purchaser was aware of that intervening treasurer's deed, simply not identified by either party, but it's effectively irrelevant because each party was on record notice of that treasurer's tax deed and doesn't have the ability to claim ignorance as a defense in that case.
What's your best authority for that proposition, that you cannot claim ignorance or that it is of legal significance?
The best authority that I would have of that effect would be simply the record notice statute, which is Nebraska Revised Statute 76-238, which provides that a purchaser is placed on notice of prior recorded instruments. This case was tried on stipulated facts, as you have in the record, and the determination was made by the trial court that the beneficiary did not have any obligation to discover or disclose the intervening tax deed and had not breached any of the warranties contained in the trustee's deed. Trustee's deed contained essentially language identical to the language of the Nebraska Trustees Act, stating that it conveyed all of trustee's title and all right, title, and interest in claim of the trustor and his successors in interest. But it makes no representation or warranty as to the quality of title. It's essentially a quitclaim deed.
I wanted to talk with you about equating the trustee's deed with a quitclaim deed. Do you have any authority for that proposition, either in our statutory scheme or in any of our case law?
No, I don't, Your Honor. The only way that I can equate those two is that each deed contains an absence of warranties, as compared to a warranty deed, which is either a general warranty deed, which conveys title free and clear and warrants to defend title free and clear of all liens and encumbrances. What we have here is a deed that effectively has no warranties of title. And whether that's a quitclaim deed or a trustee's deed, the court needs to look to the deed itself to determine the promises contained there.
How was this case filed? Under what authority? What form of action? Is there a statutory remedy that the appellees were seeking?
There is not, although I would let the appellee correct me on that. I do not find statutory authority. The statutory authority cited by the appellee in this case stands for the proposition that a tax deed conveys the property free and clear of liens and encumbrances, and then skips the determination as to whether or not the sale should be void, and then cites the appropriate case law indicating...
I'm sorry, the tax deed.
I'm sorry.
You said tax deed? Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cites the authority that the treasurer's tax deed conveys the property free and clear of liens and encumbrances, and then skips to cite the case law indicating that a void trustee's sale ought to be overturned and the funds ought to be returned. It simply skips the step of determining whether the sale under these circumstances effectively gives grounds for voiding the trustee.
So there's no statutory remedy for buyers, to your knowledge. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
So what form of action is this?
The complaint that was filed by appellant, I have a difficult time qualifying as to the exact nature of the claim. It was an attempt to void the sale, and as a corollary to making a determination of the voided sale, a request for damages and return of the payments.
Was this tried in equity?
It was tried in equity, Your Honor.
And what's our standard of review?
Your standard of review...
It would be de novo, wouldn't it?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I apologize for the paper flipping.
Thank you.
What's the effect of the issuance of the treasurer's deed?
The effect of the issuance of the treasurer's deed is, as we have in case law and statute, I believe fairly clearly, a conveyance free and clear of all liens and encumbrances, but subject to all the other statutory provisions related to the treasurer's tax deed, which includes specifically certain rights of redemption which are granted to the title holder and those parties that take under the title from the original title holder or the title holder at the time of sale. So in this case, there are really two questions to be looked at effectively. Number one is whether the trustee's sale needs to convey any title in order to avoid being voided. And I would argue that that's not the case.
What was being sold?
What
did buyers pay $40,000 for? What'd they get?
What they received is all of the right title and interest of the trustee and the beneficiary and the trustor under the transfer.
But they had no interest.
If this court were determined that it was required that an interest be conveyed, that there be some conveyance in that document.
Well, isn't that logical?
What rights, value, thingies, hereditaments did they pick up for $40,000?
What rights would have been conveyed would have been all of the rights of redemptions contained in the Nebraska Revised Statute, which can be found at 77, NREV Stat Section 77, 1831 to 1837, which includes the ability under a variety of circumstances for either that purchaser...
So you're saying notwithstanding the treasurer's deed at the point in time, is that right? You're saying the buyers paid money for the opportunity to sue somebody.
Your Honor, that's probably the best way that it can be stated. The decision by the purchasers to buy in an arm's length transaction was not privy, and their considerations was not known at the time by the seller.
If we're here in equity, do we have to look at your client and whether or not your client had some obligation, for example, to check the register of deeds? Do you have clean hands?
Your Honor, I think that's an appropriate consideration in this case. I would note that the record reflects that while both parties were on record notice, the record also reflects the stipulation of the parties that neither party had actual notice of this sale. Had actual notice of the treasurer's tax deed at the time.
Did you all record your interest?
The interest of the predecessor in title under the deed of trust was recorded as a matter of record.
Your client.
I'm sorry. My client's record and the history on this is somewhat convoluted. My client's record on this.
Well, let me do it this way. Did the seller of whatever it is that was sold have that seller recorded its interest an assignee of something?
No, Your Honor. It's not required to record that interest, and it did not record that interest. This was a complicated bank merger transaction, essentially. And they simply are able, as permitted by the Nebraska Trustees Act. The Trustees Act requires record assignment of a trustee interest, does not require record assignment of a beneficiary interest.
Does the owner of the trustees need or deed of trust, I assume that's what it is, have any obligation to check to see whether the taxes have been paid on the property for which the trust deed was given as security?
Your Honor, I believe that they have no obligation to make that inquiry. And again, that's...
Well, wouldn't that be prudent practices? Wouldn't that be a default in the trust deed? Isn't that a provision of default in the deed of trust?
I think it would certainly be prudent for a title search to be performed and certainly would have been in order to obtain notice.
It's probably also prudent upon the buyer, too.
Yes, Your Honor, exactly.
Could the interest that the seller in this case had been recorded? Is it prohibited from recording?
No, it could have been recorded, Your Honor.
Does the record tell us whether this transaction occurred, occurred without a title search having been done at all by either party?
The record does not reflect that.
All right.
And with my time expiring, if there's no further questions, I'd remove for
Thank
my
you.
Reservation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Nelson, good morning to you.
Good morning, Governor.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Natalie Nelson, and I represent the appellees Jeremy and Kim Klein and Robert and Elaine. As the appellant's attorney indicated, my clients were the purchasers of what they thought was some real estate following a trustee sale held in Phelps County. It's our position that the district court ruling in this matter should be affirmed. The district court ruled that because the appellant had no interest in the real estate, that the trustee's deed was invalid.
What was the theory of your cause of action?
Your Honor, this was an equity action. We filed seeking to set aside the trustee sale on the basis that the trustee sale was void because the appellant lacked any interest in the property.
And is that a recognized cause of action in Nebraska?
I believe it's the Gilroy case sets forth that trustee sales can be set aside and that those are an equity action.
Well, I'm with you up to that point. It's this bit about that... The last part of that, I've never heard of one of those. Do you have any authority for the proposition that just because there was no interest to convey, that that's a recognized cause of action in equity?
You know, I believe that the NOSP case, it's a slightly different procedural standpoint, but in that particular case, the beneficiary under a deed of trust sought to assert their interest against a subsequent purchaser. And the court in that case held that because the tax deed passed that property free and clear of all liens and encumbrances, they had no cause of action. They couldn't assert that deed of trust. And so
I remember the Nas case.
I think it follows from that there would be a cause of action then if a trustee beneficiary under a trust hold a trustee sale without having any legal authority to do so, that there would be a cause of action in equity.
Doesn't the rule of caveat emptor apply? If you don't check the title, don't you just get what they convey, what they have?
You know, certainly I think it would have been prudent for my clients to check the real estate records. And I think earlier there was a question about equating this to a quit claim deed, and I think that there is a distinction between the two.
What warranties apply in a trustee's deed?
I don't know that the trustee's deed contained any specific specific warranties, but I think that anytime you have a trustee's deed, you have this underlying premise that there is some interest in the property. I couldn't have a trustee's sale had there never been a deed of trust issued in the first place.
If this had been a mortgage foreclosure and a sheriff's deed, there would have been, it would, sheriff's deed, we've got lots of cases that say no warranties, you take the title that the sheriff has derivative of the mortgage foreclosure. Why should this be any different?
I think had the appellant had any interest in the property at all, my clients would certainly be stuck with what the trustee had. I don't think that there's any warranties conveying clean title or guaranteeing any fee title to the property. But I think that because the appellant didn't have any title at all, the NOSP case makes it clear that that deed of trust was essentially wiped off the books. The property was conveyed free and clear of all liens and encumbrances, and without any deed of trust to form the basis of that trustee's sale, the trustee's sale is void.
Now, at the time the trust deed was given, it wasn't void then, was it?
In other words, when
the loan was made, the trust deed was given to secure.
The deed of trust would have been given to secure, and I don't have any, I guess, knowledge of whether or not that would have been void. I don't have any reason to believe that the deed of trust itself was void.
The title was divested by the subsequent treasurer's tax deed.
Correct.
So, once again, I return to why shouldn't the same rule apply that would apply in a mortgage foreclosure with a sheriff's deed, and that is you get what the sheriff had And if the sheriff has nothing, you get nothing.
I think your basis is there's an implied ownership when the parties offer the property for sale. They have some implied warranty that they own the property, and that's why they're selling it.
That's correct. I think that by and virtue of the fact there, that
they're... You're not claiming fraud in this case, are you? You've never alleged fraud.
We've never alleged fraud.
So do you have any authority at all for this proposition of an implied warranty of title?
I think throughout the trustee's sale statutes, there's continually reference to, if you look at 76-1009, referring to trustee's sale, specifically states the trustee shall sell the property. 76-1010 sub 2 indicates that the trustee's deed operates to convey to the purchaser the trustee's title. I think there's just this underlying
assumption
through the statutes that there is some sort of title or property to convey. When that treasurer's tax deed was issued, the appellant lost all of their title and interest in the property.
Does the party who purchases the tax deed have some obligation at some point in time to take further action in order to prevent the property from reverting back to the original owners?
I don't know that they have any obligation to do so, well, but statute certainly provides
to protect them their interest. Don't they have to do something within 6 months after 3 years has occurred from the purchase of the tax deed?
The appellant, the beneficiary under the trust?
The owner of the tax deed.
The owner of the tax deed had to provide notice to a certain number of parties that are listed in statute.
The owner of the tax deed in this case had a separate action pending, according to the record. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. And they stipulated out that the owner of the tax deed got everything there is to get.
Yes.
That's how it settled out. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And who was named in that action? What parties?
My clients were named as parties as well as the record owners. I believe the appellant was also named as a party as well as predecessors in interest.
Did this happen after or before you purchased at the tax, at the trustee sale?
After.
So that's when you finally were put on notice that you really had nothing that
that's
you
correct.
Purchased?
After the trustee sale, after the issuance of the deed, my clients became aware of the fact that the treasurer's tax deed had been issued prior to the trustee sale.
So then, so Vandalay filed a quiet title, is that right?
That's correct.
After?
Yes. I think that it's also relevant to note that the appellant has statutory means to protect their interests. They have the right of redemption, and the appellant argued that that right of redemption transferred to my clients as a part of this subsequent trustee's sale. However, statute makes it clear that that right of redemption expires when the application for the treasurer's tax deed was made. So there was no right of redemption still in existence at the time the trustee's sale was had or at the time the treasurer's deed was issued. That right of redemption, though, exists for the benefit of the appellant. It's to prevent exactly this situation. It exists so that they can redeem those tax sale certificates, they can protect their interest, and then at a subsequent trustee's sale, they have the ability to recover those costs that were paid.
Help me out on one factual point. Does the record tell us whether the notice of sale leading to the trustee's sale occurred before or after the issuance and recording of the treasurer's tax deed, or whether it straddled that date?
The notice to the parties would have occurred in, I believe it's April of 2013, and then the first treasurer's deed was filed in August of 2013. Trustee's deed was not issued until October of 2013. So notice...
I'm asking about notice of sale, not notice of default. Specifically, notice of sale under the trust deed. When did that occur with respect vis-a-vis the recording of the treasurer's tax deed?
The notice would have occurred after the recording of the first treasurer's deed.
So everyone that received notice of a potential sale under the trustee's deed was on constructive notice of the issuance and recording of the treasurer's tax deed.
Yes. they would have been on record notice of the treasurer's tax deed.
So I guess what's the principle that we're supposed to draw out of this case, that we're going to rescue people who don't go check the record? I mean, I'm having real problems with how this fits in, particularly when you compare it to virtually 150 years of jurisprudence in sheriff's sales.
Well, I think that the equity issue, certainly it would have been prudent for my clients to check the record. I don't think I can dispute that fact. But I think the issue is whether or not we're going to permit a beneficiary who refuses to redeem the taxes, who refuses to, may I continue?
Sure, you can finish.
Refuses to record their assignment so that they are entitled to actual notice, then turn around and hold a void trustee's sale, and by virtue of my client not checking the records, be essentially entitled to a $40,000 windfall when they failed to take steps to protect their interest initially.
What was the basis for bringing the trustee's sale? What was the default?
I believe it was non-payment of the loan.
So they hadn't paid anything on anything, right, the owners?
I'm not sure what was paid.
But they had to trigger something that would cause the trustees.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
He has 10 seconds.
You got 10 seconds there, Mr. Lapuza. We'll give you 30 seconds.
Only here for extremely succinct questions, apparently. Mm-hmm. If there are any questions, the only note that I would make is that the conveyance of the right of redemption and transfer under Nebraska Revised Statute 77-1844 provides that the purchaser under a tax sale, under a treasurer's, under a trustee's deed, is capable of asserting the rights of their predecessor in interest. So whatever rights may have been held by the bank at the time of the foreclosure were transferred under the trustee's sale.
Is it correct that nobody challenged the treasurer's deed?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Did you all stipulate to that?
Yes, we did, Your Honor.
So is that out of the case?
If I may.
The list of opportunities to challenge the treasurer's deed.
I'm sorry, I need to draw a distinction in my answer. No party questioned whether or not the treasurer's tax deed was validly issued, but there was also no determination or assertion made that the rights of redemption following the sale were valuable or not valuable between the parties.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We will go then to the next case of the day, which is State versus Erica A. Jenkins. The court will be joined on this argument by Judge Moore of the Court of Appeals.